I'd like you to turn this morning to the book of Luke, please, chapter 4. The book of Luke, chapter 4. It's been an incredible weekend for our nation. It always is when we have an inauguration. Those inaugurations always mean change. They always mean sometimes a difference of approach and opinion, etc. But it's a great reflection of the strength of our republic and of our democracy. But this morning I want to read to you the passage where we see that Jesus is inaugurated. We know that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And the Holy Spirit came and God's voice spoke and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." How many know that happened? Amen? How many know that happened? Okay, was going to check our Bible literacy quotient here. And then immediately the Bible says that the Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness, and for 40 days he ate nothing and was tempted by the devil, right? How many know that happened? All right? And at the end of that 40 days, Satan comes to Jesus in three specific areas and tempts him, and Jesus does not succumb to his temptations. And then the Bible says that the devil left them and waited for another opportunity. And we know that the enemy would come at the cross and try to destroy him there. When he left the wilderness, he was hungry, the Bible says. He was weak, and the Bible says the angels of God came to minister to him. But he was ready at that point to enter his ministry. In verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, we pick it up right after the temptation in the wilderness. And it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book," more a scroll than a book, a scroll, "he found the place where it was written," and the place he found was Isaiah 61. And Jesus reads this part of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has sent me to do these six things." That would line out his ministry. That was his inauguration, as it were. That was his speech, as it were. He was saying, "This is what I have been anointed to do. This is what I've been sent to do." And he recites these six things that were mentioned in the book of Isaiah as a prophecy of coming Messiah and what he would do. And then verse 20 says, "Then he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" He didn't mince words. He said, "Today, what you need to understand is that I am the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that was sent to do these things." And so Jesus begins his public ministry. And he will stay true to these six things throughout his entire 3.5 years of ministry. Jesus laid out this before his hometown, friends and family, Nazareth, where he was raised up. This was Mary and Joseph's son. He explains by reading Isaiah 61 that he's going to be busy, and that's what he's going to be doing. He will have an anointed ministry, and that would be his mission. And why would he come to do that? It's because Jesus was born into a needy world. He was born into a world of broken people and bruised people, people in bondage and people in pain. And how many know we still have those kind of people today? Come on. Some of you were those people. Some of you maybe are those people. I appreciate Felicia and Penny's testimony this morning. They've explained to you about their life and what Jesus has done for them during some difficult times of their life. We still have broken and bruised and people in bondage and people in pain. But the same Messiah that stood in the synagogue that day and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," is the same Jesus that is alive today. Come on, amen. Still alive today. And just what Jesus needed to fulfill his mission was a Holy Spirit anointing that it would take to guide him and lead him. So it is today. I want you to look from where we just read. This is interesting to me. Go back to chapter 3, verse 22. If you have a Bible, chapter 3, verse 22. And, and look what it says. In verse 22, this is the baptism of Jesus, the River Jordan. It says, "The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him." The Spirit of the Lord descended upon Jesus. Then look at chapter 4, verse 1. "Then Jesus, being filled with the" what? "The Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan," was led into the wilderness. Now look at verse 14 of chapter 4 again. "Then Jesus returned in the power of the" what? "The Spirit to Galilee." And then look at verse 18. "The" what? "Spirit of the Lord is upon me." How many see the trend there? The trend, it was the Holy Spirit's presence in Jesus' life that anointed him to do the work that he was going to do. The Holy Spirit is essential in this work of helping hurting people. If people are going to be helped, they will need to be helped through the power of Jesus Christ and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the triune God. And we believe each one is God, individually is God. And we believe that they work together to help accomplish and minister to the needs of people. Let me read to you Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Romans chapter 8. You can turn there if you'd like to with me. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Paul is writing to believers, and he says these words, Romans 8, 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." That means the way we used to live before we knew the Lord. We're not debtors to do that. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." How many know we need to live by the Spirit? Amen? Live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are" what? "Children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So what Paul points out is that just as Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this work of helping hurting people, so you and I have been given that same responsibility and that same mantle of anointing. Without the Holy Spirit, my friends, we can do nothing for the Lord. But with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we are joint heirs with Christ and we follow in his footsteps. And Jesus would say, "Greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father." How many know we are the hands of Jesus today? Come on. We are the hands of Jesus today. We are the feet of Jesus today. We are the voice of Jesus today. We are the eyes of Jesus today. We are the ones that are to reach out and to help hurting people, just as Jesus did. The model that he gave us, we're called to do that as well. Now, Jesus did not receive a very welcome reception in Nazareth. And just during the inauguration, we saw a lot of protests going on. And that, again, that's a privilege of our nation. We need to preserve that. People need to be able to express themselves. I do not agree with breaking windows and destroying property. That's not what it was designed for. Amen? That's anarchy, and we don't want that. And so people don't have to agree with us, and they didn't agree with Jesus. But look what happened in chapter 4 in verse 28. It says, all those in the synagogue, these were people who knew Jesus. They were his friends, some were his relatives. When they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They rose up, thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, and they, that they might throw him down over the cliff, and then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. How many know they did not receive Jesus very well in his hometown? Come on. They were going to throw him over a cliff and try to kill him. They were going to try to kill him. But they weren't successful, of course, because God had a plan for Jesus and his ministry. And so this becomes the mission of Jesus. Let me read him again. He has anointed me with the Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor, to those that are poor in spirit. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, people that are hurting, people that have gone through pain and emotional pain, physical pain, to proclaim liberty to the captives, those that are in bondage, the recovery of sight to the blind, to those who are spiritually blind, and in some cases physically blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, people that are downtrodden, people that are hurting, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, meaning now is the time. That was his mission, and that needs to be our mission today. And what's incredible to me is that probably everybody in this room right now would fit at one time or another in your life, probably fit into one of these six things right there. But because Jesus Christ came and his power, he helped you, he saved you, he delivered you, you are whole today because of what Jesus did for you. Amen? You could get up here and you could testify to that very fact. And so we have to continue to follow in his footsteps. Now, why was it true then, and is it true even today? It is true today that this is the needs of people. And I think maybe the light shining series that Eddie has put together will show us that, but also show us that we can be a help and a strength to people. Now, just as people rejected Jesus in Nazareth, and then he left that city and he went out and he began to do great and mighty miracles. And wherever he went, where people were willing to hear him and to receive his message, they were healed. Demon-possessed people were delivered. People that were sick were made whole. People that were lost were found. Lepers were healed. The dead were raised. And all of these things begin to happen where people really desperately knew they needed a Savior. I tell you, when you are desperate, you will believe and you will reach out to the Savior. And that's what we want to offer to people. Now, we face a challenge today, though. Just as people rejected Jesus, so people reject the message of the gospel today. They reject the whole idea of the gospel today. Why is that? I want to read to you Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I could quote it by memory, but I'm going to just take a minute to read it. I want to show you a stark contrast that I believe we face in our world today, maybe even more so than we ever have, at least in my memory. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen very closely. If anything describes the world we live in right now, this is it, I believe. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, there's two different ways of approaching things in our world today. A mind, call it a mindset, call it a value system, call it a standard, whatever you want to. And one train is what Jesus presented to us, that there is a God, that there is a gospel, and that it's good news, and that it helps people, etc. But then we're faced with a mindset in our world today that's totally different from that. We face a generation that many have never ever been taught the standards and the values that we value as Christianity. I've never seen Christianity attacked more than I have in these past years. With a mindset that people reject it. Some of you remember in school reading about Magellan. I'm reading a book right now called, I would tell you what it's called, but I'm having a senior moment. But it'll come to me. And they given the example of Magellan. And when he was trying to find a western route to the Spice Islands, he followed along South America and he followed along the shore, trying to figure out a way around it. And he eventually he got to South America, the very tip of South America, and he rejoiced. And the charts that he had were incomplete, but they got him that far. And so they got around the hope of the point of good hope, I think he called it. And it was a treacherous journey. But when they got to the tip of South America and started to go north, they felt like they were only a couple hundred miles from the Spice Islands, not realizing there was an enormous Pacific Ocean out there, right? And so they're going along and they're not finding anything. And he looks at his chart and the charts show that there should be land and there's no land. They're running out of food. They're running out of water. The men are being discouraged. People are dying on his boat. And one day Magellan just took his charts and he threw them down and said, "Misery, misery," something to that effect. "And shame on those who made those charts because they're wrong. They're giving us the wrong direction." Well, in fairness to the chart makers, all they had were some guesses, but they guessed it wrong, but they had no charts. And Magellan, I think only like 18 of his men survived that trip out of 238 men. Why? Because they didn't have any guidance system. They didn't have anything to guide them today. But today, we've got 24 satellites sitting in space. That's how come your phone right now, you can use that GPS and it'll tell you how to get out of this building. We've got a guidance system up there, right? Magellan didn't have that. And the problem I see in our world today is that we've got a lot of people who don't have a guidance system. They don't have a value system. They don't have standards. They weren't taught what many of us were taught. Some of you didn't have it either, but as you've come to faith in Christ, you've learned that we do have a guidance system. We have something we can put our focus on. We have a North Star that never changes position, and it's called the Word of God. Come on, the Word of God. We can count on it. We can depend on it. And so Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because the world has no familiar standards. The attitude of so many today is that the Bible is at best the good book. We've heard it called the good book. And at worst, it's an irrelevant bunch of do's and don'ts. That's the attitude of the world today. The values have changed. They no longer exist as they used to. And we live in a different world than we did even 10, 15, 20 years ago. We live in a different world. And the danger for that, that Paul saw in Romans chapter 12, is he said, don't be conformed to that world. The world conforms means to be changed into be molded, for taking what you are and let some other force change you and mold you into something that you're not. And sadly, that is what has happened to many in the church world today. There are churches, in my opinion, who are letting the world mold them into something God never intended for the church to be. Come on. The church was intended to be a lighthouse. It was intended to be a place of rescue. It was intended to be a place where people could come, where Felicias could come and find strength and help and encouragement to overcome some of those things in their life. A place where people would rejoice together and not condemn one another, but embrace them and say, Jesus can help you. And it's a place where God expected us to point people not to man's answers, but to God's answers. Amen. If there's a message to the church today, it ought to be this. Stop conforming to the world and get back to the standard of the Word of God. That's what people need today. Come on. That's what people need today. You say, well, all the Bible is full of do's and don'ts and thou shalt nots and thou shalt not. Has it ever dawned on me? Has it ever dawned on me that God put those things in there for a reason? God put those things in there for a reason. I have a brother. I told you about him. My brother, my mother used to say of my brother, he would stop at a stop sign and argue with it. That's how stubborn he is. If there's a cliff and there's a warning sign, proceed no further. Who in their right mind would say, I don't like do's and don'ts. I'm going to proceed as far as I want to. It'll be to your own hurt. Come on. There's a reason for the standards in this Bible. But we live in a world that has no value system anymore. It's everybody does what is right in their own eyes. It's a repetition of what we saw in the Old Testament. And the end result will be destruction, my friends. But the answer, Paul said, is not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Transformed means to be changed from one thing into another. To be changed from an unbeliever, to be changed from someone lost and without God, to be changed into someone that has hope and know that your life is meaning. Praise God. Amen? And transform by the renewing of your mind. We have to change the way we think. Now, I've got to end it here real soon, but here's the caution. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, you need to be very careful. We need to be very careful that we are not slowly sucked in to the conformity with this world. This world system will lead us to destruction. And if the church is not careful, we'll become so much like the world that at some point they won't be able to distinguish between the two. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are to love the people in the world, but not the world system. We're to keep a standard and to hold a standard. Because people, let me tell you, when the flood comes and the ark is ready, people are going to be looking for the ark. Amen? Now, I'm not saying there's coming another flood. There's not. But just follow the example here. People are going to be looking for safety. And the further we get into the future, and who knows what the future holds for us, but I'll tell you, if it gets worse before it gets better, people are going to be looking. They're looking for hope right now. And it's got to be the church that sends out the beacon of light that says you can find your hope here. Amen? You can find your hope here. And that's why it is so important, especially to the young among us. And most of our young are in their classes right now. So I'll get them second service. But especially to the young folks, don't conform to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this Bible be the standard that you live by. Let this be your value system. We need to remember who we are. We are children of the living God. We belong to Him and we serve at His pleasure. And so let our minds be renewed, and our actions and our words and our thoughts and our values and our standards be pleasing to Jesus. And that way we can help the hurting people that Jesus has told us to go reach. Because hurting people need an answer. They don't need to be told, oh, believe whatever you want to, it's okay. No, they need to be told that there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is healing in Jesus Christ. There's victory in Jesus Christ. And you can have a better life than you have like right now. That's what people need to hear. Amen? God help us not to become so like the world that the world can't tell the difference between us and the world. What a caution that is. What a caution that is. I want to be different. I don't want to be weird, but I want to be different. I want to be different. I wish I had time. I don't. First service is so limited in time. Maybe we ought to change it from 9 to 12. And then from 12 to 1. No, I'm kidding. Jesus, you see the burden of my heart today. And chances are good that there's some folks here that aren't seeing that burden. I'm not really expressing myself as clearly as I could. I apologize for that. But I do pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak to every heart that is here. We have an opportunity at this point in history of our nation and of our world to be a bright, shining beacon of hope and light. I don't want it to be dimmed by so compromising our standards and our values with the world system that instead of being transformed, we are conformed. That's the burden of my heart. Holy Spirit, please take that to every heart that is here, to every individual, to every young family, to every man, to every woman. God, we are created in your image. We are children of God. And we possess the hope that people need today. Father God, to the hurting, to the broken, to those who are in prisons, to those who are struggling with addictions, to those who are desperate to find something beyond themselves, help them to find it in Jesus Christ. And help Jesus to be preached in all of our churches without compromise and without apology. Father, give us the strength individually to be a beacon of light so that when people see us, they could ask us about the hope that is within inside of us. Lord, that's the burden of my heart. Pray that burden could be conveyed. Help us to stand strong on the word of the Lord because it is our North Star. It will not change. It will not waver. We can set our course by it. God, we thank you for that. Be with each one now as they go their separate ways. Give them a delightful Sunday afternoon with family, with friends, or even if they're by themselves, let them feel the presence of the Lord right alongside of them, Jesus. And keep us shining bright for Jesus Christ in this world that we live. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together and prepare to exit. Thanks for coming this morning. God bless you. And we'll dismiss you now. God bless. Watch the parking lot. Be a lot of people coming in, kids coming around. Take care.